Good morning, girls and boys. Nice to see you. We're turning to God's Word again and taking up our study on the five central points of the Gospel. It's important to know the Gospel and spend our lives researching, studying, looking out every last aspect of what it is that Christ has done for us. But it's important that we especially lay an emphasis in our studies upon the vital matters set forth by God. You can get to heaven even if you're not baptized. Now, baptism is an important doctrine that we should search out and understand what it is God has said about it. But it is not as important as other truths in the Bible. You'll not get to heaven if you don't believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you feel you can get cleansed from sin some other way, you'll not get to heaven. So the cleansing blood of Christ and what is taught in the Bible about it is more important than the doctrine concerning baptism. Baptism's in the Bible, we should study it. But we should especially study those truths that God indicates. If we don't believe them, we'll not get to heaven. So that's what we're looking at in these five central points of the Gospel. We're seeking to understand those essential matters that must be embraced. Now, we've mentioned the flower tulip, and I trust that after these studies, you will never look at a tulip again without thinking of what that flower and the spelling of its name represents with regards to the Gospel. T-U-L-I-P, tulip. And we have looked at two of the letters. We have considered how that man is totally sinful, totally depraved. T. Then we looked at U, unconditional election. God chose us, those who are His, without any condition. He didn't say, I'll bless you if you, if you, if you. No. God set His love upon a people without condition. They were utterly incapable of doing anything to merit or warrant God's blessing, because they were totally depraved, as we learned in our first study. Well, we come to the L now, and it stands for limited atonement. Limited atonement. We're going to look at what the Bible tells us regarding the limit that God has set upon the outworking of Christ's atoning death upon the cross. There are some who prefer another title for this particular doctrine rather than limited atonement. They like to speak of particular redemption, meaning that God had a particular people in mind when Jesus died. I'm happy enough with the definition of this truth, limited atonement, and I'm just going to stick with that today and seek to explain the matter to you. We'll start off with a question. In what sense is the atonement of the Savior limited or restricted? In what sense could that be? We're used to thinking of the Savior as being able to do everything and anything. His power is without limit. But regarding His purpose in coming into this world, dying on the cross, He Himself had set a limit upon the outworkings of that. Now, we ought to be familiar with the fact that God is pleased to work within certain limits. In the Old Testament, who was it God dealt with? One nation. A very small little nation. an insignificant nation, the nation of Israel, the nation of Israel. And God dealt only with them. Oh, there were times when, in kindness and mercy, he savingly dealt with those who were not part of Israel. And I'm sure you can think of some that experienced God's mercy, even though they were not of Israel. The great Syrian general, Naaman, he experienced God's mercy. And it pleased God, I think, I might say, in his dealing in mercy with Naaman, he was indicating that there would come a day when he would speak to the whole world, not just to Israel. But as we open our Bibles at Genesis and begin to read, we discover that God was pleased to set limits upon himself in his dealings with man. So it's not something that's strange. And when we come then to this matter of limited atonement, it's not something that should astonish us. So I ask the question again, by way of a first point, in what sense is the atonement of the Savior limited? Well, let me first of all say that there is absolutely no limit to the power or value of the precious blood that was shed at Calvary. There's no limit to the power of that blood. Whosoever comes to the Savior, no matter who they are, the wickedest of men, if they confess their sin to him, the precious blood will cleanse that sin away. There's not a sin that that blood cannot wash. In heaven, and if you're saved and on your way to heaven, one day you'll discover this. In heaven, there are some of the most wicked men that ever lived, saved by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God. Paul the Apostle thought of himself as the most wicked of sinners. He had done terrible things before he was saved. Aye, he even put his hand to killing one of God's chief servants, Stephen, first martyr. Paul played a part in his murder, but Paul's in heaven. Paul's in heaven, saved by God's grace, washed in the precious blood. So, when we're talking about limits, let's understand there's no limit to the power of the precious blood to save the sinner. Then again, there's no limit to what it is that the blood has bought for God's people. No limit. We can never understand just what glorious blessings the Lord Jesus bought for us by the shedding of his blood. I believe that forever and ever and ever and ever we will be discovering in heaven what it is that the Savior bought for us. Now, we all know what it's like to open presents, birthday and other occasions. And they come from mommy, they come from daddy, they come from maybe a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle, and oh, there they all are set out, and it's a great and wonderful thing to open them. But you always come to the last one. You open it, and there's no more to open. But that'll not be the case in heaven, if I might put forth that picture. In heaven, we will forever be opening up what it is the Lord Jesus has purchased for us. I do believe that. I do believe that. That's one of the splendors of glory in comparison to life on earth. We're into the month of June, on the 21st of this month, and that's only 8 days from now. On the 21st, the days will start getting shorter again. We're climbing up the hill, and on the 21st, we'll reach the top, and then we start going down again. The days will start getting shorter. Oh, there's plenty of sunshine ahead of us, I trust. The last days of June, July, and August. But nevertheless, the days are gradually getting shorter. And that's how it is on earth. Nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. We live by the clock. And every tick of the clock indicates that things are declining. But it will not be like that in heaven. There, we will discover that what the Lord has done for us and what He purchased for us at the cross has no end and will bring to us everlasting joy and blessing. In Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bible, you older ones, make sure you look it up. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 3 it says, and Paul is obviously stirred up by the thought that I've been expressing to you. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." All spiritual blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. There is a fount of blessing that will flow forever, pouring out joy and pleasure and peace, and causing us to rejoice and to sing in heaven. No end, no end to what it is Christ has purchased. All that the love of God can bestow upon His people has been purchased for us by the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. So there's no limit there. When I speak of a limit, I'm not talking about a limit placed upon the power of the blood to save. I'm not speaking upon a limit being placed upon what it is the Lord Jesus has purchased for us. But there is a limit. There is a limit as to the number of those for whom Christ died. That's a sobering thought, solemn thought, which should stir our hearts to meditate upon a number of things. We talked about the elect of God, those chosen by God from all eternity. As you have in the Old Testament, God choosing one nation and bestowing upon that one nation His love, His care, His blessing, His provisions. So, at the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, as He died, had before His mind a specific people. I have no doubt that as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, He was thinking of every one of those for whom He was dying. You know what the Bible says? And this is a picture presented to us. God has inscribed upon His hands the names of His people. The names of His people. Your mom and dad knows your name and the name of every member of the family. And they're loved by them. Well, God knows the name of every one of those that from all eternity He planned to save, those who were in the mind and heart of the Lord Jesus when He was dying on the cross. He was thinking, I'm shedding My blood for My elect. So I'm saying to you that there is a limit to the number of people for whom Christ died. Not all men have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Cain is not in heaven. The blood was not shed for Cain. Because if it was shed for Cain, the shedding of that blood for Cain was ineffective. It failed. The Lord Jesus failed. If He died for Cain, He failed. Because Cain's not in heaven. It's unthinkable for us to contemplate the Lord Jesus on the cross failing to purchase, to accomplish the redemption of any. No. He accomplished salvation for a specific people, and it was for them He died and shed His blood. There was a limit to the number of people for whom the Lord Jesus died. If we look out on mankind, we can see multitudes that have no interest in the Lord Jesus. They are like those who at His crucifixion walked past and laughed and mocked. They had no interest in what Jesus was doing. And they lived and died without knowing the power of the blood of Christ to save from sin. But the Bible says this in Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So those the Lord Jesus loved from all eternity he died for, and he washed them in his blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And there you have a specific people spoken of, the people God loved, and the people Jesus died for at the cross and saved. Didn't die ineffectively, didn't die in vain, didn't die and not achieve the redemption of those he died for. But those for whom Jesus died, he saved. And all that we know who are saved, Jesus died for them. And those who went to hell, the Lord did not die for them. Because if he had, they wouldn't be in hell. Wouldn't be in hell. Second main point I want us to consider is that when Christ died, he did so for his elect alone. Now, we've touched on this already, but I want to press it home upon you. When Jesus died, he died for his elect alone. I want to turn to the words of the Lord Jesus to substantiate what it is I'm saying. Wouldn't be any use to you for me to say, here's what I believe. You need more than that to pin your hopes upon. So we're going to look at what it is the Lord Jesus said. And I feel that we will see in the words of the Lord Jesus that I'm about to set before you, evidence, proof, that when he died at the cross, he had in his mind, in his heart, a certain people, and only a certain people. Listen to these words. We're in John chapter 10, very famous chapter. It's all about the good shepherd and the sheep that belong to his flock. In John 10, the verse 26, we read these words. But ye believe not, now he's talking to those who were opposed to him, questioning him, doubting him. And he says, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. Now, that simply tells us there are those who are not part of the flock of God. And as such, they give no heed to the Saviour or his words. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Notice that phrase, my sheep. That's the second time we've read it in that verse. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So, those people who are in the midst of the millions of the earth who belong to Jesus, he saves. He gives eternal life. And they'll never perish. That distinguishes them from all other men. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Just you think on this. If you're saved this morning, two hands have a grip on you. The hand of the Lord Jesus and the hand of the Father. You're not going to fall. When you were small and you went out for a walk, stumbling along and tripping, you were held up by two hands, Mommy, Daddy. And that kept you from falling, except those times when you ran away and tripped. But while Mommy and Daddy had a hold of your hand, you didn't fall. Well, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus has a hold of our hand. The Father has a hold of our hand. Never forget that. Never forget that. So amongst the millions that have lived on the earth, there are those who are the sheep of the Lord. Again, I remind you of the picture in the Old Testament. There was the nation of Israel, and they belonged to the Lord and the rest of the nations. They had not that relationship with God. So these specific people, my sheep, the Lord Jesus called them, it was for them he died, and it was them whom he called and granted repentance and faith, and who he brings to a saving knowledge of himself. In John 10, the verse 11, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for who? The sheep. That's what it says. So it's not me that is telling you that when Jesus died, he gave his life for a limited number of people. It's not me telling you that. It's the Lord Jesus. He said, I gave my life for my sheep. I didn't give my life for those who were not my sheep. Oh, this is a doctrine that is so precious. And yet, poor foolish man, in the blindness of his heart, oftentimes objects to this and would put forth arguments against such a truth. But let's just accept what Jesus said. Look again. This time it's Mark chapter 10 and the verse 45. Now, as I say, we're emphasizing the words of the Lord Jesus. We're emphasizing the words of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 10 of Mark, the verse 45, here's what he said. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for everybody. No, it doesn't say that. It says for many. For many. It's a wonderful thing that the Lord Jesus has in his heart and mind many. Countless. Millions, I would say. But they were many. Out of all humanity. It wasn't all of humanity that he gave his life for. But for the many. The many. The words of Christ then make clear that he died for a limited number of people. The many, the sheep, my sheep. In his high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, you have the Savior praying for his people. And in that prayer, you have a picture of what the Lord Jesus is praying right now. What he's praying for right now. In the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in and he sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat on behalf of all the nation. Well, the Lord Jesus went into heaven with his own blood, the price of redemption for his people. And he's praying, just like the high priest, he's praying. And that prayer, as I say, may be read in John chapter 17, and it gives you the essence, the substance of what the Savior is praying at this very time. He says in that prayer, in the verse 9, I pray for them. That's my sheep. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Boys and girls, are you saved today? Because if you are saved today, I want you to think about the fact that I am saved because God thought of me, set his love upon me in eternity, put his name upon me. And when the Lord Jesus came into the world, it was for me and others like me, but it was for me he died. And at Calvary, if you're saved this morning, at Calvary, the Lord Jesus was thinking about you. Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus was thinking about you. He could see you by the eyes of his love and grace. This is a doctrine, boys and girls, that should fill us with joy. For the God who saw us in eternity and set his love upon us and sent his Son to die for us at the cross will never lose us. He's going to accomplish in us what he planned in eternity. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven. We haven't quite finished the study, but I'm going to leave it there and we'll come back to it next week and just continue with one final thought next week in the will of the Lord. Let's bow together there. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that this glorious doctrine, fought over, resisted, aye, denigrated by foolish men. Lord, may it thrill the hearts of the boys and girls here. May they, like little children, just embrace what God says without question. Bless our school today, undertake for it in every matter. We especially remember the past pupil, Jonathan, in hospital in Scotland, and pray your hand will be upon him, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.